Today we continue with part 3 of outcome 4.4. Soon after this, Pharisees came to test him, Matthew 19 verse 3, this time on the very serious matter of divorce. But in the crowd were mothers and their children. And 19 verse 13 says, then children were brought to him that he might lay his hands on them and pray. The disciples, who it seems had a very short memory, given the fact that the incident with the little boy should have still been fresh in their memories, immediately stepped in to prevent the interruption to what important adults were discussing. Can you hear their thoughts? There he goes again with kids. Doesn't he realize the power and prestige of the men around him? This is a moment of high influence. Does it perhaps bring to mind the times you've heard things like, oh, he's only a child, he won't understand, or she's only a child, this is adult stuff we are dealing with, or you can't entrust that to him, he's only 8 years old. Well, as we saw in the previous outcome, God used several children to accomplish his purposes in the Bible. Imagine how the children felt when the disciples tried to turn them away. Hurt? Rejected? Disappointed? But Mark 10:14 says that Jesus was indignant. Matthew 19:14 says, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. In other words, don't you dare hinder them from coming. Imagine how the children felt now. They realized that this obviously in-charge adult was defending and protecting them, scolding adults on their behalf. They must have rushed forward now, one by one, feeling the wonderful embrace of Jesus' arms. How should this story affect the church? A person's life is shaped between the ages of 4 and 14. It is during those years that lifelong habits, values, beliefs, and attitudes are formed. As we saw earlier, most people who are born again make that decision while they are children. So what should the church be doing? In his wonderful book, Child, Church, and Mission, Dan Brewster suggests the following. Teach them the Word of God. Make disciples of children. Regularly support them in prayer. Create opportunities for children to participate in ministry. Offer child-friendly church facilities. Provide qualified children's teachers, age-graded classes and curricula. Engage in family equipping and preparation. Protect children from harmful traditions. Conduct worship services that are meaningful to children. Conduct elders' meetings and annual church programs, the agendas of which include matters relating to children and how to improve the church's ministry to children. Formulate budgets which provide funds for significant child ministries. Emphasize rituals, Christmas, Easter, other special church days, birthdays, Sunday school graduations, anniversaries and remembrances, and make them a big deal for the children. Also, the church should have designated days and times to bless children in its annual program. Encourage the pastor to be a regular visitor to the children's ministry and to know many of the children by name. Insist on purity among leaders. Look at children's potential, not just their current behavior. Support the child's family. Have regular family together activities. Train the staff in child protection. Seek to have trained people to help children that have been abused, mistreated, or on the streets. Conclusion. I'm absolutely convinced that somewhere in the history of the church, it lost the emphasis that Jesus and the Bible places on children, and that if the church refocuses on children without abandoning its focus on the adults, the kingdom will advance at a much more rapid rate, and the future of the world's children will be a lot rosier than it is today. So, it is logical that the next outcome deals with this aspect in more detail.